court victory for LGBT workers.
Protected under the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Death toll rises in Syria attack.
Initial findings show this was a chemical weapon.
Ivanka Trump's White House job.
I'm holding myself to that highest ethical standard.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, a major federal court ruling in Chicago has set the stage for a showdown at the U.S. Supreme Court in a case straight from the modern workplace, testing the interpretation of the landmark 1964 ruling on civil rights. CBS's Pam Coulter says the decision is a win for an Indiana teacher who says she was denied a job at a community college because she's a lesbian.
The ruling, which protects gay and lesbian employees from workplace discrimination, is being called a game changer. Chris Dahl with the National Center for Lesbian Rights says it's historic.
This is the first time we've had a federal appeals court recognize that federal sex discrimination laws already protect gay and lesbian and bisexual workers from discrimination.
The Family Research Council's Peter Sprigg disagrees with the ruling.
Employment should be based, all other things being equal, on free agreement between the employer and the employee without government involvement or government coercion.
CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
One way to see this ruling is almost as a dare to both Congress and the U.S. Supreme Court. To Congress, the appeals judges are saying, if we were wrong about sexual orientation being covered under the Civil Rights Act, then tell us by clarifying the law. And to the justices in Washington, the Seventh Circuit is saying, you all didn't decide this, and now we're sort of forcing your hand.
Pam Coulter, CBS News.
A Syrian activist group now says 72 people were killed in the suspected chemical attack in a rebel-held town. A doctor who's treating victims is trying to get a handle on what they're dealing with.
Soon we will know what this chemical was, but we have a high level of suspicion that this was sarin gas that was used.
The attack has been condemned by the U.S. and other nations. British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson points the finger of blame at the Assad government.
I've seen absolutely nothing to lead us to think that it is anything but the regime.
The State Department says enough's been said already in the wake of North Korea's latest missile launch. It all follows President Trump's harsh rhetoric and ahead of a key meeting. Asia correspondent Adriana Diaz.
It comes as President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping prepare to discuss the North Korea threat tomorrow. Ahead of the meeting, Kim Jong-un may be sending a signal of defiance. The missile in February was launched as Japan's leader dined with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. But the stakes are higher ahead of China's meeting. China's North Korea's largest trading partner. The U.S. wants China to go beyond U.N. sanctions and use more of its economic leverage over Kim Jong-un.
Well, Ivanka Trump is speaking out for the first time since getting an official job at the White House. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
I'm still my father's daughter.
And now in a dual role as an assistant to the president, Ivanka Trump says she's free to speak her mind.
Where I disagree with my father, he knows it. And I express myself with total candor. Where I agree, I fully lean in and support the agenda.
More inclined to agree with Democrats on many issues than Mr. Trump's other aides, the first daughter tells CBS's Gail King she's not keeping quiet, but she says she intends to keep her dissenting views private.
I think most of the impact I have over time, most people will not actually know about.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
More talks planned for today on a new Republican health care plan. White House officials and key conservatives met for 2 hours in a Capitol Hill basement last night, but emerged with no new deal. House Freedom Caucus leader Mark Meadows says some of the discussions center on lifting mandates for certain kinds of coverage.
If you affect some of the Obamacare mandates and pull them out so that people don't get premium spikes, you need to make sure that there's a backstop.
Also under consideration, allowing insurers to charge more for people with pre-existing conditions. In the U.S. Senate, not a filibuster, but an all-nighter, as Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley spoke out in opposition to President Trump's Supreme Court nominee.
You have Judge Gorsuch writing his own law, ignoring the Supreme Court.
The extended speech is a prelude to a likely Democratic filibuster on the Neil Gorsuch nomination. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell indicates if that happens, he'll change Senate rules to allow approval by a simple majority. The Trump administration says new numbers from the southern border aren't just a coincidence. CBS's Vicky Barker.
Fewer than 12,500 people were caught crossing from Mexico last month, the lowest figure in 17 years and the second steep monthly drop in a row. Numbers down significantly ever since Donald Trump's election, but experts say it will be several months before they can say definitively whether this is a lasting trend or a temporary blip.
Police around the country are warning about the spread of a cruel scam, fake kidnappings. Here's CBS's Anna Werner.
Larry Lutz got the phone call while he was at work.
Often a guy comes on a phone and says, we got your daughter.
His daughter's kidnappers demanding $10,000.
They just said, don't talk to anybody, get in your car and start driving right now.
Lutz went to the bank to get cash, then drove through the night to eight different locations, wiring the money to Mexico as he was directed. Soon, his wife Donna wondered why her husband hadn't come home. Now her phone rang. This time, the callers told Donna they'd kidnapped her husband.
And if I didn't get them money, they were going to put a bullet in his head.
Did you believe him?
Oh, yeah.
Like her husband, Donna was also told to wire the cash from different locations. Finally, her children contacted the police, who stopped her from wiring any more money with a startling revelation.
It's a scam. I'm like, no, it's not. And they're like, it's a scam.
They'd lost $17,000.
What would you say to people who might say, well, I would never fall for that?
Well, you would, because it's like a gamble. You're gambling with somebody's life.
New York City police told us victims have included people at the highest levels of Fortune 500 companies. Anna Werner, CBS News, New York.
19-year-old Dylan Wagner is getting credit for helping the FBI find Tom Brady's missing Super Bowl jerseys. Wagner exchanged photos with a memorabilia dealer on eBay and saw the familiar number 12 in Martin Ortega's collection. He then called an FBI agent.
He said without, you know, the photos that I was able to send them, they wouldn't have been able to get the search warrant to go into Mr. Ortega's property, into his basement, and recover the jerseys.
Wagner's a fan of the New England Patriots, and he says he hopes he can meet Tom Brady someday. For many of us, the ride to and from work is a hassle. Here's CBS's Jim Shenavy.
This new analysis of U.S. commuting times finds Chicago motorists have the longest drives to work, an average of 32.4 minutes. Chicago is followed by Philadelphia, New York, Miami, and L.A. among big cities with the worst commutes. Omaha leads the list of big cities with the shortest commutes, an average of just over 18 minutes. It's followed by Wichita, Tulsa, Nashville, and Oklahoma City. The study, based on census data, was commissioned by Auto Accessories Garage. It also found that 86% of Americans drive to work, and better than 3 out of 4 drive alone.
On Facebook, more than a million people like the idea of Los Angeles hosting the 2024 Summer Olympics. Turns out many of them are from places like Bangladesh and Pakistan. The LA committee says it's evidence overseas ads are paying off. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.